The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that says, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. A little tiny thought for you once again this morning. Okay, here's your little thought for the day. You know, for about the past 200 to 300 years, there has been a movement in popular culture, especially in the West, to equate religion with ethics. That is to say that the real purpose of religion, of building churches and saying masses and signing yourself with holy water and saying prayers, keeping commandments, the real purpose of the whole of it is to make us ethical people. And to that extent, any religion makes you a good person, or no religion at all for that matter, is as good as any other, because it's all about making you a good person. Kind of a popular idea, and it's in the air you breathe, it's in the culture that we live in. Now, don't misunderstand me. One of the greatest consequences of religion and prayers and mass and all the rest is to make you of the highest ethical and moral caliber. But if you thought that that was its purpose, you would be gravely mistaken. The first Christians had a much clearer understanding than we do of the real purpose of our Catholic faith. They called it theosis, a Greek word which means divinization, and the idea being that everything we pray, everything we believe, everything we do, including the keeping of the commandments, is ordered towards something so high that you can't even imagine it right now. You're created to become an image of God himself, theosis, divinization. And that is the real purpose for everything that we do. You might have know the story of Pinocchio, a little wooden puppet boy who becomes a real boy. There's something like that, an echo of that, that's in our faith. There's a rumor going around the toy shop that one day we're all going to become real. Well, there's an echo in your heart that you were made for so much more than this, but you can't quite tell what it's going to be. Don't you live your life looking around yourself in this world thinking there must be more to it than this, a sense of permanent restlessness, an idea that you were created for something far greater than this world can possibly offer, as though you're like a lion in a cage, meant to be free. St. Teresa of Avila once said that this life is like a night in a bad hotel. Hotels are not home. You are not yet who you are made to be. And in the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, we get an image of who we are made to be. Something ethical, yes, but so much, much greater than any of that. Question for you here this morning. If that's the case, and God created us for something so much greater, why do we have to pass through this veil of tears first? Why didn't God just make us all radiant and glorious in our final divinized and heavenly state? Well, that's because of a little thing known as free will. God is a God of love. And love has no value, no meaning, unless it's freely chosen. And the trouble with free will is that it can be misused. And as you know quite well, it has been misused. And we call that sin. And sin, too, has its terrible consequences. Jesus reveals himself for who he truly is in the Transfiguration, what St. John Damascene once called not a miracle, but the temporary cessation of a miracle. This is who Jesus really is at all times, and he kept it cloaked till just this one moment. Why just this one moment? Well, because in a few short days, he's going to reveal himself for who he truly is on the top of another mountain, Mount Calvary, showing the true depths of his love. But this vision of horror is something the apostles would only be able to face if they first understood this vision of glory. God always gives us what we need. The real reason why he doesn't create us in our final transfigured state, quite simply, is because of sin, we're not ready. And he wants to get us ready. And because of that, we have to pass through a veil of tears. God will give you everything you need to pass through that veil of tears. The book of Proverbs says, when you set yourself to the Lord's service, prepare your heart for trials. Trials produce character. And God is far more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. And he's going to lead you, like St. Peter said in the second reading, this prophetic message, keep your eyes fixed on it like a lamp shining in a dark place. All of us have some kind of experience in which God has revealed his great goodness to us. He's given us those experiences for his purposes and plans, like the Transfiguration, to lead us by that shining light through this dark place to our final destination. Part of the message of the Transfiguration, brothers and sisters, is when you're going through a dark time, don't ever forget God's purpose and God's promise. We hear the voice of God the Father speaking on the top of Mount Tabor at the Transfiguration, one of only three times in the Scriptures which God the Father speaks directly. This is my beloved Son, my chosen one. Let's you and I listen to him. Amen.